Welcome into the Inside the NFL Prospects podcast series. I'm Jack Borowski, joined here alongside my co-host Brian Sternberg. On this episode, we are fortunate to have on Jack Heflin. Jack is a starting defensive tackle for the Northern Illinois Huskies and was one of the top returning players in the country. Jack, thanks for joining us on the podcast.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
To start, Jack, we want to talk about last season and transitioning to next year. In terms of what you did well, what are you looking at based on last year and be like, all right, this is what I have to do for next season in order to improve my game?
I mean, last season I showed that when I play at my best, I'm pretty, I'm pretty unblockable when I play at my best. And that's how I feel. And I can be a very disruptive player. But my problem is I would play at my best for about four series of a game, or I'm not consistent with it. And my big focus going into this year, and I talked to my position coach, Coach Geely, like, we know what I can do. It's just a matter of staying at that level of just playing at a consistent level for this upcoming season.
And Jack, for next season, what are your individual goals, and what does this Northern Illinois team have to do to win the MAC?
I mean, my individual goals is to, I mean, be the best player I can every game. I know that I can do what I can do. I mean, I want to be an All-American. I want to be Player of the Year in the conference. I have pretty high goals for this season. I mean, one that I have circled, being a former walk-on, the Brandon Burlesworth Trophy. I really want to win that. That's one of the big trophies I want to win coming into this season. But this, for the MAC, for us to win the MAC for NIU, to get back to where we were, it's just, we just got to play consistent. And we got to just trust our technique. I mean, we got a lot of talent on our team. And, I mean, we got a good coaching staff. It's just a matter of just believing in each other and just playing consistent every single game. And we showed, I mean, we went out and beat arguably the three most talented teams in the conference last year in Western, Toledo, and Ohio. But then we would get blown out by 30 the next game. It's not able to get complacent and just being hungry every single week.
Jack, talking about this, you just mentioned the idea of not being that traditional 4-5-star recruit and having to work your way. The likes of J.J. Watt had to do it. Tell us about that journey and how you ended up at Northern Illinois.
So I'm from a really small town. I'm from Prophetstown, Illinois, most famously known as the hometown of Brett Bielema. And I played small 3A football in the state of Illinois. We ran a triple option, and it was all running teams. And I always got told I was a small recruit, which made no sense to me because I was 6'3", 265 in high school. So I was like, but then it like came out. They're like, you don't play against enough talent. You don't do this and that. And I remember I came to the big dog camp at NIU, and Coach Dearson was there. And I was the D-line coach at the time. I was the D-line coach for my first 2 years at NIU. And I had a pretty good camp. And Coach Dearson, he said, he always told me when I got here, he kept me below the radar because he said I was his find and he wanted no one to know about me. So then I walked on to NIU, and the rest is history. I mean, it's been a long ride walking on, and I wouldn't change it, because I wouldn't be the player I am today, or I have the same work ethic I am that I have today because of it.
And Jack, a lot of the players that we interview sometimes go down the road of redshirting. That was something that you did. How do you think that helped your development as a player?
It helped me a lot, especially with I was blessed. I mean, I've been blessed at NIU to have, like I said, two great strength coaches. When I got hurt, I mean, I had redshirted because of injury, too. So I had shoulder surgery, typical labrum tear. You see it a bunch in college. But I had shoulder surgery, and I remember Coach Short and Coach Matt Jacobs and Coach Ricketts, they all really helped me develop as a player in the size that I got so much stronger in that off season that my strength numbers went through the roof, and I was always a stronger kid. I've always been a strong, quote unquote, farm kid. Just that's what they always been labeled me as, farm strength. But being able to develop and see the game, because Coach Dearson always made me come in and meet with him still, and I sat through meetings, and just to see how a college athlete operates. And I had three guys ahead of me, Corey Thomas, Mario Jones, and Will Lee, that I saw how they operated, and I saw what I wanted to do to emulate what they did.
Now, Jack, you go from being small school, then you get to Northern Illinois, redshirt your freshman year. What were your expectations coming into your redshirt freshman season in terms of playing time? What were your expectations as a whole?
In that camp, I worked my way into being a spot where I had a shot to get some reps on the field. So my goal going into that offseason, when I got back from injury, I told myself I'm going to be a starter, and I'm starting every game this year. And I knew I had to start to earn a scholarship. So that was my expectations. I'm going to be the best I possibly can. I wanted to be a freshman All-American, but I don't know how Coach Dearson played me that year. I watched that film from redshirt freshman year, and I'm cringing the whole entire time because I'm not the player I am today because of it. But he knew that I just needed the rest to develop, and he really just trusted me and put a lot of faith in me.
And Jack, just this past season, you were awarded honorable mention All-American and from Pro Football Focus, and you were named a team captain. Is that giving you any momentum going into the next season?
Oh yeah, it's definitely a confidence boost. It's funny. I was just talking to my girlfriend about this last night, and I've always been the person. I've always been greedy in that way. Is that I want to win it all, and I just love competing, and it's very nice to know that people recognize the work I put in, but at the end of the day, there's more out there, and it shows that I'm getting the respect that I feel like I deserve, and I truly greatly appreciate the respect for it, and that coming into this season, building momentum, is knowing that it sets a standard that if I'm not at that level again, I let myself and my teammates down. So that's what it pushes me every day to work harder, because I don't want to be honorable mention this year. I want to be first team. I want to be on everyone's list. And that's just who I am. And I've always been just that type of person.
Jack, talking about where you are at this point in time, I want to take it back to early on in your career. Was there an early moment where you realized, oh shoot, this is D1 football? Like, was there a game, a play where you realized, all right, this is the next step, and this is actually Division I talent?
The very first time we went half shells in practice, so it was the third practice of fall camp. And I remember I got a double team, and I never felt a shoulder that hard in my life. And then that was like the first time, like, welcome to college football moment. But then when I realized I was at the D1 level, like, big time, was the next spring ball. I had to go against Jordan Steckler, which is a guy who just graduated for us this year. And then Max Sharping, so the one who started for the Texans all year. Steckler was playing left guard, and Sharping was playing left tackle. And I fired off the ball. I'm like, oh, yeah, I got this. And I got launched all the way across the right tackle's face. And, I mean, I'm a pretty decent-sized dude, but I never – like, watching film, it was just so effortless for them to do that. And I'm like, wow, I need to step my game up. That was a slap in the face. Like, hey, bud, this is college football.
And Jack, we know how vital film watching is. How have your film studying habits changed and progressed as your collegiate career has gone on?
I remember when I first came to college, I just turned on film and I was just like, oh yeah, I'm just watching this. But now I pick up on like the little cues quicker. Like I can see if the guard's sitting back more in a stance, or if it's a runner pass read, and where his hand's sitting, or the formation, where the running back's at. If the running back's deep in a way, it's probably a downhill run right at me. Or if the running back's even in a way, I'm probably going to get an outside zone, or it's going to be more of a zone scheme. And that's what I've learned a lot. And I've been blessed to have three really good defensive line coaches, and Coach Dearson, Coach Stewart, and Coach Dealey, where I've learned three different terminologies. I've learned three different ways of watching film, three different ways of coaching film. It's just, I've been able to pick up on all the little different, like the different things they do. And some people look at it as a curse, but I mean, at the end of the day, I have three really good relationships with three really good coaches, and I want to coach college football when it's all said and done. Hopefully I play in the NFL for a little bit, and then or for a while, then I can coach college football. But I have connections and especially really good men too.
What do you look for in particular? So when you first, you put on a team that you're about to play, an offensive lineman, guard, center, what do you look for in their game to then go and attack during when you guys are playing?
I just look for what move they lost to in the prior week. If there's like a certain move, or there's a certain twist, or something that they've struggled with all season. Yeah, I mean, you guys cover football a lot, and you guys know football is a copycat league. So if someone can't beat the spin move inside, or someone can't beat a bull rush, I'm not going to – if it ain't broke, I'm not going to fix it. So if I see a guy have success with a certain move and if it fits my skill set, I'm definitely going to come at them with the same move and see if they fixed it. If they haven't fixed it, I'm going to keep bringing it at them. And that's for – I picked that up big time from Coach Dealey. He always said, just if something is beating him, I mean, if you're watching a guard and he's extremely aggressive off the ball, he's a leaner, I'm not going to try and go hard against hard on him. I'm going to do a quick move on him and then get him guessing all game and get him off balance. And then it's get in their head, where instead of I'm not, I know if there's a big, strong guard, I don't know why I would just bury my face into the dude's chest and just play into his strength. I want to get him moving and get him thinking.
And Jack, going back to your first start when you found out that you'd be getting your first nod, were you nervous at all, or did you feel like you need to play up to a certain expectation?
My first game, it was Boston College. It was at home. And I knew I was ready, but I never played on this big of a stage before. And so I was like, I'm ready to play. Like, I worked to get here. This is what I've always dreamed of. This is the time. This is my moment. But I knew there's expectations because I beat out a redshirt senior for the spot who arguably was better than me at the time. And I knew that if I didn't play well, everyone's going to start questioning my ability, and everyone's going to start looking at me like, why are you playing? So, yeah, I felt like there was a target on my back to say, hey, show us what you got, freshman. So there's some nerves there. That's actually the only game I've ever been nervous for in college. It's my very first one.
Jack, freshman season 2017, zero sacks, and you jumped in 2018 to six sacks. Was there anything that off season that you worked on? Was it just a mentality change? What do you think allowed you to have that huge jump in production?
Definitely. It was not all me for that. I had a lot of help on the edges with Sutton Smith and Josh Corcoran. And I mean, with our linebackers blitzing in, adding in, and I mean, we had a really good D-line, and, I mean, it was just they gave me one-on-ones, and I took advantage of them, and I finished the play. And that's what I think that's why I made the big jump. But also, it's just, like you said, it was a mentality thing where I was always known in high school for the guy being a pass rusher, and I was like, I'm not going to go through my whole college career without getting a sack. I can't do this. Like, what? I'm like, I started like stressing a little bit. I'm like, I might never get a sack. But I just kept telling myself, just focusing on the small things. And I always thought I needed to hit some extravagant move. And I remember talking to Coach Stewart, and he's like, dude, he goes, you just need to hit this, trust your technique. Just do something small. It's the minute details that beat the guy across from him. Because they expect the big extravagant move. They don't expect someone just to get in there and do a subtle shed on him or move their feet right on the play. So that's what he always worked with us. And it was every single day we're doing hip flips on a barrel or working our hands. I mean, just simple things and not getting cute with the pass rush, because that's what people do so much nowadays, to try to get cute with all these special moves. But just be physical with someone and play off that, and then set them up throughout the game. It's not something special. That's what my mentality was with Coach Stu, and it's stuck with me ever since.
And Jack, you mentioned earlier going up against Max Sharping. How did practicing with him help your development as a player?
Well, it sucked practicing against him because you can never do anything. But I knew where I needed to be going against him, and I always told myself I'm going to beat him. I never was able to beat him in college. But going against him is, you know, especially being a competitor, being in college, you don't want to go against not the best of the best. And Max was the best of the best. He was the upper echelon. And being able to go against him every day, it just improved you. And you're not going to go against that man, I swear, he's about 6'6" and about 5 feet wide, and he's solid as a rock, and he's an athletic specimen. So, I mean, nothing worked against him, but you knew that if one time I got him like on one foot and he sat on me real quick, and I was like, oh, all right, now I know what it takes. I can use this move on anyone else. So that's why I always like going against Max, and I like the challenge. I knew Max liked the challenge too, because we're roommates. And he's always come home and just let me know that I got some work to do. So it was always fun, and it was a friendly competition, but he always won it. So I knew where I got to get to.
Max, in his development where he's an NFL player, you following along that path, based off of what you see, and I'm going to have you choose one, is there a freshman or sophomore on the Northern Illinois football team that hasn't gotten that media attention yet, but has stood out to you as someone who should be on draft radar soon?
We got a guy at right guard, Logan Chernutz, who's he played for us 4 games last year, and the guy, he's one of the hardest workers I've ever been around. I mean, he's a big boy. He's a 2-time state champ wrestler in high school. I mean, he's just a load to go against. And that's the guy I like going against now because he's so challenging. But, yeah, he's very, very going to be very well in a couple of years. But, I mean, if you want to go for I don't know if I can do this for y'all, but if you want to go to – for a guy that's going to be a redshirt senior, it's our tight end, Mitchell Brinkman. That he finally put together a really good season last year. And that guy is one of the hardest workers I've ever been around, too.
And, Jack, for those who don't know, your teammate Max was invited to the Senior Bowl and then the Combine. Looking ahead, senior season, is the end goal for you to be invited to the Senior Bowl and Combine?
Oh, absolutely. That's always been a dream of mine, especially when I've always wanted to play. I always wanted to play in the Reese's Senior Bowl, and then I wanted to go to the NFL Combine. Because I remember I used to watch the Combine on repeat as a kid, just watch the Combine. I just thought it was the coolest thing on earth.
Senior Bowl, Combine, goals of many who are in their senior season. In terms of that, though, That's a little ways away. With the season coming up, your senior leadership, how are you going to be taking on a leadership role in your final season?
So last year they put me in a leadership role, and the way I need to really take it on is just try to get the best out of the guys every single day. And I do a good job. I personally think, and all the guys tell me I do a good job, that I really care about my teammates, and I get on them sometimes, but I let them know that I don't get on someone if I don't care, if that makes sense. Like, they know that it's coming from love. So with me, it's like I need to stay on them. And I always go to them because they look at me as a leader. I always go to them and I say, why would I be the one getting on y'all, but you guys are scared to get back on me? Because there's like a big thing of mine is like, don't have your hands on top of your head, your hands on your hips, or don't be laying on the ground. And I call it a cramp. I call it a cramp in conditioning at the end. And I was laying on the ground and no one said anything to me. And I got upset. I'm like, I'm the one who says something to y'all for laying on the ground, but you guys don't say nothing to me. I said, it's a two-way street with this whole leadership thing. Yes, I'm the one you guys look forward to because I'm the redshirt senior. I've been here for a while. But at the end of the day, we all feed off each other. And just letting everyone know that they're valued on the team and everyone has a major role in this team being successful. So, I mean, that's where I feel like I really need to improve on. I mean, to keep doing as a leader and improve, because there's never been a perfect leader, and you're going to have different people to lean on.
And Jack, what is a typical game day like for you, and what is it like playing at Husky Stadium?
I mean, we get up at the hotel, then we go have pregame meal about 4 hours before, and I'm pretty loose. Well, a lot of guys, you know, they get super tensed up. I need to relax, because when I get tensed up, I don't play well. So I'm pretty loose. I'm relaxed. I'm going through. After I get taped, I'm just sitting there just joking around with our trainers. And then it'll be about the 2.5 hour mark before a game. That's when I start, like, locking in some. And I'll be going through, just the scouting report, what I wrote on the O-lineman I'm going against, their snap counts, their D&D, what they like to run. I just go through that real quick, just one last check, and then I go out, warm up, and go through a quick warm-up with the D-line coach. We all go through it as a D-line, and I stay out. And my brother was on the equipment staff, so we'd always play catch. Just what we would do before every game, would play catch and then go in, get the pads on, and it's time to go. And playing at Husky Stadium, it's a night game at Husky Stadium. It's pretty hard to beat, especially a Saturday night game. A lot of people don't like to play there. I'm not talking about our team. I'm talking about opponents, because the Cavs out in the middle of nowhere, and they're like, what the heck are we doing out here? And on a way locker room, I'm sorry, it is not good. It is not fun to be in that. We've had a practice out there one day, and it's not a good locker room. And the fans, like, they sit up top, if that makes sense. It's weird because, like, you can go underneath the stadium, but they, like, sit on top of you. And, like, you can, like, they, like, yell. And it's, I mean, it gets electric in there, too. I mean, it's fun. I love that stadium. Nothing beats it to me. I always love playing in front of the home crowd. So that's why I always love the different location for games, but I'd rather play at home at Husky Stadium.
With the Huskies now, next step, the NFL. Jack, talking about where you want to be off the field, when you're talking to scouts and GMs who are going to have all the film that they need on you, but understanding character is such an important part of things. What do you want them to know about who they're going to get and someone off the field and in the locker room?
I want them to know that they're getting a guy who loves, I mean, I'm a lover, as cliche as that sounds. I'm just a goofy, love being around people, love messing around. I love working. I just like building relationships and meeting new people and getting to know people where they're from. And I'm someone that I wear with whatever team I'm at. And I mean, I show with NIU is that if you got me and you invest in me and you take the shot on me, you're going to get everything you get, everything I have, I possibly can give to you. And I'm going to wear whatever organization I have on their sleeve, because I'm gonna be the proudest human being to be a part of that organization. And I'm going to love everything, every moment of it. And I'm a family guy too. And just this whole, I don't want to say I just want to be there. I said, I want to be, at the end of the day, I want to be the best possible human being on and off the field. And as much as I get, I want to be able to give back to the community and the people around me. And that's what I want to have as a community, the organization to be. That's our guy. Like, we can help them with anything. And that's what I want to be for them.
And Jack, has a thought about you playing the NFL kind of sunk into your mind? And have you thought about signing an NFL contract? And what would be the first thing you'd like to do with your signing bonus?
First thing I like to do with the signing bonus? My mom, I've always wanted to buy my mom her dream car, but she always told me if I bought her the car, she's just going to take it back to the lot and give me my money back. So I don't know. There's really nothing. That's what's weird about me, I guess you can say. There's really nothing that I want to go buy. I mean, I want to give back, and I might invest. But yeah, I mean, I have a nice truck now, and I love my truck that I have now, so I don't need a new car. Maybe buy a bass boat. I don't know. Probably wherever I go, maybe depends on the location. Buy a house in that location. Yeah, that's a tough one for me. I mean, I've thought about it, but at the end of the day, that's like what's weird is I don't have anything I'm like dying to have. I'm not a big materialistic guy.
Jack, hypothetical question. If you can be trained by one player currently in the NFL or retired, who would it be and why?
One person in the NFL right now? JJ Watt. I'm a huge JJ Watt fan. I guess if I ever met him, as embarrassing as it sounds, I may just be speechless, but oh my gosh, it's JJ Watt. Because he's always been my idol. I mean, the dude, he's walked on. I mean, drafted in the first round. He's dominated the NFL. I mean, he's a class act. I mean, he's everything that if I could pick to be like someone, I'd want to be like him. I mean, he's someone who's through adversity. He's shown his true colors all the time, and he's never had a bad day. I mean, he's had a bad day to his body and everything going on around him, but he's true to his values. The man is a freaking animal in the weight room. Like, he worked so hard, and that's what I think when I started like training. I would watch his videos, and I'm like, man, I'm not working hard enough. I'm like, this guy's the best in the NFL, and he's hungry for more. So that's just to be able to work with him. I feel like you can just take your game to the next level.
Yeah, JJ Watt is without a doubt one of the best players in the league right now. But Jack, when you're not on the football field, is there something you like to do with your teammates, like play Madden or 2K?
Yeah, that's what we like. We like to, I mean, we play games. We play a lot of Call of Duty. We used to play a lot of Fortnite. There's a couple of us. We like in the summer, when we have time in the summer, we like to go fishing a lot. Just go out and be outside and hang out. My roommate, he has a dog, and I have a dog too. So we like to go. I mean, like, we just go out and we'll play fetch with our dogs and just let our dogs run free and just roam and just hang out. There's a bunch of different things we like to do. Just like get together and go eat. We like to just be around each other and just mess around. And there's never a dull moment with us. We always find something to do, and there's always someone fooling around, and it always ends up having a competition too, because you know how being around a bunch of guys is who's better than who at this. So it's always fun.
Jack, for our last question, for any rising high school football player, based on your experiences, what is a piece of advice you could give to them?
I would tell them that know who really wants you and who really values you. Going through the whole recruiting process, you get a lot of people who you're just another number, if that makes sense. They just want you to be a depth filler, and if they can be a depth filler for you, for them, can be that. Just go somewhere. You can tell when someone really cares about you and someone really wants you. I mean, we've all been there in life where we could be like, this person, they just want me to be this guy for them. Well, that's what I had to deal with through recruiting, being told that I'm only going to be a PWO, I'm going to have to walk on, is that I know Coach Dearson really took the time and he valued me as a person and he took time to get to know me. And another like big one for me is I'm always big on how you treat women, and like my mom's my rock, and don't ever do anything to my mom because you got a rude awakening coming. But just how you can just, I feel like you can tell a man's character by how the way they treat a woman. And if I saw someone treat my mom really well and my mom had their trust, and you know, mom was always right. So, and my mom has a good feeling about someone, that's when you know that's where you belong. And just go to the place and get around the guys and really spend time with the guys on your visits. I never was able to have one, but being able to be a guy who's been around guys and hosted visits, that you can tell the guys who are going to be there and the guys who aren't. So that's what I would just tell them, to go where you're valued and see how they treat other people.
We really appreciate your time, Jack. Thanks so much for all the advice and all the great talk, and best of luck next season.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.